We're getting back here to me.
Oh, sir, brother.
We know arthritis and cancer. We got something to pray for.
Amen.
Child of God. Okay. I wonder if we have any birthdays or anniversaries this past week. Come on up, brother. You just don't want to admit you're right. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to Hannah, Giselle, and Keith.
Happy birthday to
Sunday at 5 o'clock for those who have already got your parts. Just for those who've got your parts. And tonight we was going to have choir practice and it being foundation service, but due to Karen being out and Scott being sick, Sherry wants to stay on Scott, so we're going to cancel that for tonight. So we'll just be here at what time? 5
o'clock? Yeah, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock for foundation service. And
I know I'm missing some of the secretary.
Candy.
Hi,
parade candy.
Oh yeah, parade candy. We're starting our collection for that. We need individually wrapped candies. Today we're up the ante a little bit. We're gonna do 3 parades. And many of you don't know, we put a gospel crack inside a little old sandwich bag. You put candy in there to give it away to throw it. That's the main point, is to get that gospel crack out.
Yeah.
But we've upped the ante a little bit. We need 3,000 this year. And if you would rather not go buy candy, just want to give money, that's fine too. Give it to your Sherry. We'll take care of that. It'll be spent wisely. But we're going to do about 3,000 bags of candy this year. So, any more announcements?
Do we need, we don't need the big lollipops though, right? That's been handled, right?
I'm not sure. What's the deal on that?
Well, we have some money left from last year, but I don't think it's enough to get all the lollipops, so.
Okay.
Churches
are willing
to buy just the
lollipops.
Yeah,
I agree.
We can get them all
on sales. Okay, and if you want to wrap individually wrapped candy, that's fine. If you just want to give Sherry herself the money, that's fine too. Whatever you want to do. Do we have any prayer requests for up in the pants? Lord sees and knows all about that. Any special spoken request before we come to pray? Remember those that are out sick, surgeries, stuff like that.
Yeah. So I have some friends up in Michigan, and this neighbor's young woman's father just died. And the problem is, I mean, obviously we all deal with that, it's terrible. But the problem is that her mother has dementia. And she can think and understand what's going on, but she forgets about every minute.
Yeah.
So she keeps reliving the death. It's like you can tell her husband died every couple minutes, every short period of time. Her daughter has to tell her that her husband died. And she doesn't remember. She doesn't remember him going through all the things that you go through before you die and all that. So if it's like, you know, like if you lose someone in a car accident or something, it's terrible. You just found out, you know. She has to keep reliving it over and over again as though it just happened. Because because of the dementia, and she doesn't, she forgets. She can't get used to it, she can't get over it. She just continuously is being shocked by the fact that her husband died. So, I honestly don't know her name, because my wife, they call her Cookie, that's like a nickname, but, so just Cookie and Tammy, this young woman who's mother, and they're both, it's just as hard for Tammy, because to see her mother just break down in tears every few minutes when she finds out her husband is gone. You know, she just keeps asking, where's Carl? And Tammy has to say, he passed on, and then she goes through the whole thing again. So, I mean, it's a terrible thing.
Yes.
And unfortunately, although she has dementia, she's pretty healthy. So there's a pretty good chance she's going to live a while doing this. And that's just, you know, they need God's help.
Yes.
Tammy and Cookie.
You know, my mother did dementia, so I know what that's like. So. And had family members get to dementia. Anybody else? We can pray.
Pray for the niece. He was hurting this morning, couldn't get out of bed hardly. On a funny note, we sat in there eating breakfast and she had fruit and some Advil. I said, uh-huh, that's the 10 times of getting old.
Anybody else?
Remember to pray for Daddy. He can get straightened out real quick, falling. I think he's fell 5 times in about a week. Can't keep doing that. Sooner or later, he's going to get hurt bad.
He's still wearing that brace?
He's got the brace on. And I don't know if he's got vertigo. He just can't keep his balance for more than a few seconds right now.
Yeah.
So just pray for him.
Anybody else?
I want to thank God for saving us. Thank God for this church and being good to you. Thank God for everyone that's come out yesterday to cook and tour us, eat with us, this fellowship. We had a great time. I'm setting up. I appreciate all y'all so much. Just pray for Scott. God touch him, help him get over this pain and what he's going through. You know, I know this is a big time care. We're just going to trust him that he will and he'll do it as fast as possible. And I pray for Miss Karen, that God just touch her, help her, be her, be able to heal up quickly, be able to get back here. You know, she wants to be here. Just pray for her, and pray for me, pray for each of you, Miss Fee. God touch and help them. I remember my grandma, she's got me in shock, so she's not doing well. Just pray for her. And just want to thank the Lord for being here today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come in and worship you. Yes. It's an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be at the house of God.
Amen.
And be able to come in and worship. And I just thank God.
Anybody else want to pray? Like to welcome our visitors. Mm-hmm. Certainly welcome.
Amen.
Pray for our service today. Pray for our sick people. Pray for the whole church. Pray for our nation. Our nation is
incredible.
It's really incredible.
That's right.
All right, you will come on around. Oh, yeah, remember our seniors. All our seniors. Ancient ones.
I'm going to
first. Not unless you Lord pray for one to see God take up with us. And I pray that you be with us just in the house. Lord, everyone that sins, only praise I pray God with that be done in your glory. I pray Lord for the preaching now, make you deal with the word of God and it's all sin and all. Lord, I pray Lord that by your kids, by your people, by your convicted power, let your seed say your word is your word. Oh, Lord, forgive me, please, and bless God. Jesus, Lord, is another who has come to me, stumbled across, out of the way of God. I pray, Lord, you hide me behind your bread and cross. That I will pray, so I can do nothing, as I will have Jesus, when you make me be glorified, and Lord, just to show your power, and to look at your hand. I pray for every man of God, and on the time that Savior today, stop me with touch it, and give us a blessing. Give us a clarity, and give us a good, give us a spirit, which is one thing, our beloved. This nation, mercy on God, have mercy on her once again. All we thank you, God, that you will do that. Lord, that you give us leaders, God, help us do things that are right by you, God, your life and mercy. Lord, I pray God you save them that are lost, that they might be made again, that you can give you and receive your glory and honor, your mercy, your grace, and your great love, Lord, we can love all of you.
But it's a direct line to the throne. Cause it's a direct hike into Georgia, where you can find someone to take a ride. And if you need some proof, I can tell you that there's power in prayer. Amen.
Church family I can call home. Amen. And I appreciate you. being faithful. I appreciate you being faithful to God, amen. And it means the world to me to be able just to go out and tell somebody to invite them to the house of God and not have to worry about it, not be ashamed to invite them to the house of God. I tell them, I say, you come, you won't want to leave. You and wife. I mean, you know, we out here in the country, a bunch of rednecks, and you know, we even got people from way up north that wants to come down and join us, you know. So, you know, we cross all kinds of boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's because we're about God.
Amen.
And we appreciate it. So, first of all, I'll say, if you haven't voted and you're of age, go register, make sure you register to vote. Right? I believe that is a responsibility that you have to exercise as a United States citizen, is to vote. I believe that's part of your citizenship. And to vote, and you ought to pray about it. You ought to vote for somebody who's got godly values or who's at least going to put America first. Yes. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want a leader who will take care of us as a nation. We don't want a leader that's going to be looking after every other nation before ours, but we want a leader that will put America first. We also want a leader that supports Israel. Amen. Why? Because we're Christians. The Bible tells us to support Israel.
Amen.
That should not be lost on any of us. I don't care what's happening in popular culture. I don't care what Fox News says or any conservative thinker. We are to support Israel. I support Israel. Any Christian, every Christian should support Israel.
Amen.
The Bible says that we receive a special blessing if we bless Israel.
That's right.
Bible says we receive a curse if we curse Israel. So support Israel. Also, remember, if you don't have the question wrote down for the foundation study tonight, here's your last chance. You can be the procrastination monster and just, you know, get it all done this afternoon and be back tonight. But the question for the Bible says, how do we know that God is good? And this is actually framed to be the question for last month. And I wanted to give you another month to think about it, because right at the end of the month, right about the time we were supposed to have the study, you know, Hurricane Helene hit, and we weren't able to have church because we were without power. And so I just moved it to the end of this month for this foundation study, because I believe that that in itself, you know, speaks a lot. We see a lot of devastation, we see a lot of damage and things that it's done. And that's what happens. You know, we go through life and things don't always go our way. Things don't always go our way spiritually. They don't always go our way financially. They don't always go our way within our family. They don't always go our way within our communities, with our jobs and everything else. But in the midst of all these trials, the Bible says God is good.
Amen.
Just give us some scriptural evidence, maybe some personal testimony of how that you've seen that God is good even in trials and tribulations. But you have to come back to us at 5 tonight to do that. And then lastly, I believe this is lastly, December 31st. For some reason my mouth kept wanting to say January 31st. December 31st. Is that right? Yeah, December 31st, we'll be having a watch night service. I don't think I'll do this every year. But I prayed about it the last couple of years, and I don't know, I thought a lot about it this year. I think we'll do that. I don't think we'll go till midnight. We're not going to like just push and drag it out till midnight. But what we'll do is we'll come in and we'll get started at we'll come in at 6 o'clock that evening, and we'll have service. And I'll have a few preach. Now I'm just going to get local pastors around here to come preach. We'll have a few preach. And around about 7:30, 8 o'clock, after a few of us preach, I'm going to get as many of you as I can to bring in coffee makers and some coffee, and bring whatever kind of coffee maker you got, whatever kind of creamers you like, whatever kind of sugar, whatever you want in coffee, whipped cream, whatever kind of shake and stir, I don't know what I'm doing. You want iced coffee, bring that. But we'll have a coffee bar, and we'll get some donuts, and some of y'all can make little sweet cakes and cookies and stuff like that, and we'll have a little intermission, and that way if anybody, you know, is like, man, I'm going home, get to the bed. You can drink, you can come to fellowship a little bit, come home. But if you want to, you can come back, and we're going to have a few more preachers preach. And like I said, I'm not going to try to make it drag out till midnight. But all I want you to do is help to pray about it. And we just want to bring in the new year with the gospel and a prayer. Amen?
Amen.
And I think that's a good thing. And I believe it's good for the community just to get together. That's my conviction, just to get the local pastors together around here. And I've got several that I want to ask. I don't know how many of us are willing to do it, so we'll just see how that works out. I've asked a couple already that you agree. And they're excited about it. They're looking forward to it. And so once I get everybody in line to do it, then I'll sort of make a schedule. But what I need from you all, for my seniors, and Dan, you're welcome to come too and join us if you can be here then, is I need you to line up some songs, and I'll have some of y'all singing and stuff in between. And once y'all get together and you got ideas for songs and stuff, let me know, and I'll let you know how many I got preaching and sort of order of how who's going where. And what we'll do is we'll get us a little order of service together, and you know, if the Lord leads a different way, we'll go a different way. But at least we'll have somewhere to start. We'll have a temple. We ain't just running in wild, you know. But in any case, but yeah, we'll be praying about that. We'll be looking forward to that. That'll be on a Tuesday night. And we'll not have a Wednesday night service that night. That'll be New Year's Day, January 1st. But that Tuesday night, we'll be having that service. So if you're able to be here, remember that. Write that down in the calendars, and we'll try to be here for that. Like I said, I don't know if I'll be able to step away from 12. But, you know, we'll just see how long it lasts. I don't know. Like I said, whenever the last is done preaching, we'll pray here home. Amen. You know, the calendar that God gave the Jewish people originally, those days ended whenever, you know, the next morning began, right? So it was the daylight and the nighttime all the way to the next morning began. Or was it the next, or was it when the night began? I can't remember. But anyways, we ain't going to write no way, so midnight, it don't matter. But the day before the first of the year, we're going to pray. We're going to meet, we're going to preach, we're going to worship God. Amen. That's what it's about. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 2. Genesis in chapter 2. I've been preaching these last few weeks a series on the family, and I've been preaching the last couple Sundays on a biblical husband. Then last Sunday we preached on a biblical wife, and we're going to be back in Genesis again this morning. We've been in Genesis these last few Sundays, and we'll be in Genesis again, and this time we're going to talk about the marriage. We're going to talk specifically about the marriage. It's just been a series on family. I hope and I pray, and I'll just give you a little prelude here, that this message is for everybody. Some of you are married, and obviously it is for you. Some of you have not been married yet. It is for you to prepare yourselves for marriage. And others of you have possibly been married and you've lost a spouse, or you know, they've went on and you're no longer together, or they've passed away. And this is also for you to be remind you that you do have a marriage that remains with the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in Genesis chapter 2, I was beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God had made the earth." And it says, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put a man whom he had formed, and out of whom he had formed, and he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Tyson, that is which he which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hattatel, it is that which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eat of it thou shalt surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl there, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and the fowl there, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and pray, God, that you've had your blessing through the reading of it. Lord, we can do nothing here this morning without your help. May you move upon this service and help us, God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to exposit the word, Lord, this morning in a way, God, that it would edify the hearers. Lord, may you be the one that speaks, God, from on high. And let us, Lord, just glorify you this morning. May the name of your Son, Jesus, be exalted and lifted up. It's in his name we beg. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. I appreciate that. With the Lord's help this morning, I want to talk about this right here, and that is to be being one, being together. When you have two put together, don't equal one, does it? You take one and you put that together, and that's two. But here the Bible says this one and one together is one. That's why it says there in verse number 24 of Genesis chapter 2, it says that a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that was the intention of God from the beginning. We have it recorded here in Genesis. Now, there's some things here we're going to go over, and I just want to say this. By the reason I start reading there in verse number 1 of chapter 2 is because this is something that a lot of people, this has not got anything to do really with what we're going to preach on this morning, but just because it's part of the Word of God, and it is a subject of controversy today, then we're going to address this, because as I was reading this last night, I was thinking on this. In Genesis 1, you've got the account of the creation. And you can go and you can read that. And it tells that on the sixth day that God created man. Okay? And now in chapter 2, it begins to tell us that the heavens and the earth were finished. And the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And it said that he rested on the seventh day. Now, as you fast forward, it says in verse number 7, it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, where the controversy is a lot of folks will say that what this is saying here is that there was an ancient civilization. There's all kinds of theories. But point blank being this, they try to use this as a reason to say that Adam, or that, you know, mankind as we know it was not created on the sixth day, that there might have been an ancient or previous civilization. The earth is not, you know, 5,600 and some years old or 700 some years old or whatever it is, but that the earth is much older than that, and they try to, you know, just create confusion.
But what we're seeing here is not necessarily that the Bible is saying that it was finished and then he created man. And what it's saying is that it was finished. Now, let's give you a zoomed in, microscopic version of what happened on that sixth day. Now we're getting the sixth day expounded upon, right? That's what's happening here. So as he goes into chapter 2, he's giving you an in-depth look of what happened on the sixth day. These are not things that happened after the seventh day. He's just giving you an entire recollection of day 1 through day 7. Now he says this, okay, day 6 was kind of important compared to all the others.
Amen.
And so let's go back and let's review that once again.
Yes, sir.
And let's go a little bit deeper. That's what he's saying. So don't let anyone deceive you with any of that other foolishness.
Amen.
But next I want to look at this, like I said this morning, this is about marriage. This is about two people being one flesh. I just wanted to straighten that out because it is here. It's something we went over and it's something that ought to be addressed. But the Bible tells us in chapter number 2, and it says in verse number 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. He said, I will make a help meet for him." Hey, he recognized the need for companionship amongst mankind. I want to say this, that, you know, anybody I believe that's a red-blooded American, they desire companionship, don't they? Everybody out there today seems to always be looking for some kind of romance or some kind of, I'm talking about people that's even lost, people that's not even part of the church, people that has no value on marriage or anything else. To them it's just lust, it's just about fornication, it's just about the desires of the flesh and temporary satisfaction. But I want to say that they search and they longing for romance. They're longing for having a companion, somebody to tell their deepest thoughts to, somebody to share life with. What they're longing for is they're longing for somebody to walk through this world with that they can be one with. And they don't even realize it. And you know what's sad? A lot of times I and you, we don't realize how important it is to us to have us two to be one. Hey, I want to tell you this. I've got some good friends. I love my friends. Me and my friends have stuck close together over the years, and I'm thankful for that. I've got some of them here this morning. They're here every Sunday. I appreciate them boys being here. And I've got other friends, too, that's been friends with me since we little youngins. And I know they appreciate me, but, you know, I can't replace their wife, and they can't replace my wife. And that's just the way that it is, because my wife has become my best friend. And, you know, sometimes we might bicker and fuss. As a matter of fact, I think she's got the capability to make me madder in any personal life. But I've got the ability to make her madder in any personal life. Because I just tell you, I'm not the easiest to get along with. You ought to pray for her. God bless her for putting up with me. But in any case, I know this, that she is my best friend, and I appreciate her so much, and it's meant so much to me to have somebody that I'm one with to go through this life down here. Hey, I want to tell you, I've got Jesus. Say amen. If you were saved this morning, hey, I'm glad that you've got Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I want to say, he's always with me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never turn his back on you. But I'm glad that in his wisdom, he give us something called marriage, that we can go through this life together with somebody else, having being one together. Amen. Even people whose lust and desire goes against nature itself, who practice homosexuality and practice sodomy, they steal, they fight, and they teeth and they gnaw for that right to be married. Why is that? It's because they have that longing in their heart. They want to be one with somebody, even though that's not going to happen for them. They're not going to be able to have that comfort, that peace, because they're going against God. But nevertheless, the longing in their heart is still there. And it's longing there for them to be one. And you and I have a longing in our heart to be one. And we see that. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Bible says that's a good thing. Yep. Ain't nothing wrong with finding a wife. Ain't nothing wrong, young ladies, with finding a good husband. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let anybody tell you any different. Hey, I'll tell you, there's something wrong with lusting after the opposite sex. There's something wrong with wanting to just get along with them, to be able to do what you want to, and get away with it outside of, you know, going the way God wants you to, and that's to be married. Let me tell you young folks something. When it comes to intercourse, when it comes to physical relations with someone of the opposite sex, it is not something that God is keeping from you. It's something God is saving for you.
Amen.
There's nothing, the Bible says the marriage bed is not defiled.
Amen.
But that is within the bonds of the marriage. Matter of fact, the first thing God tells Adam and Eve, he says, go forth and be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm not trying to get down in the gutter, but what do you think be fruitful means? He's telling them, I have put you two together. You two are one. He says, this is the intention for you two to be together. It is a gift from God.
Amen.
And to have a husband, to have a wife, it is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Today's society will tell you, oh, you ought to wait before you get married. You ought to, you know, you ought to be able to go out and date and see who you want to have. I want to tell you this. Don't carry a bunch of baggage into a marriage. Be selective about who you start dating. That's why I say this message is for everybody. This message is for young people. Now, don't none of you men and women start thinking maybe I should be more selective. Right? Listen, I'm gonna get to y'all here in just a minute. You're stuck. All right, you hear that, honey? You're stuck. Too bad it's too late for you. But in any case, be selective, young people, about who you marry. Why? Because God takes the bonds of marriage very serious.
Amen.
And we're gonna go over right here in just a minute. But nevertheless, if you want to have a marriage, if you have that longing to be one with somebody, don't just go out and just date and try to figure out who you like. Go ahead and decide right now. Young ladies, you ought to want a man that's going to follow God, that's going to lead in a godly way, that's going to stand and lead, and is going to follow God. That's what you ought to want. That's what you ought to desire. That's what you ought to look for. Young men, you ought to look for a young lady that's following God and that'll follow you. And a lot of you young men and a lot of you young ladies, I've told the same thing. I said, this is what you look for. And this is the only question that you have to answer is, do they love God? And is that who I want raising my children?
Yep. Yeah.
It's a simple question to ask. If you can say, this is the man that I want to raise my children. This is the man I want to raise my sons. This is the man I want to be an example to my children, to show them to stand for what's right, to lead in a godly way, and to not be willing to back down from troubles and trials, and to be willing to stand in the face of evil. Hey, this is the kind of a woman that I want to raise my kids. I know she'll nurture them. I know she'll take care of them. She'll love them. She'll protect them. She'll humbly just, sacrifice all that she could just to take care of them babies. Hey, I'll tell you, that's the kind of woman that you want.
Amen.
And that's the kind of man that you want. And so don't go out and date around this, that, and the other and have to carry that in with you into a marriage. Well, that's just going to create jealousy. That's just going to create problems in the future. Those of you who's married that's been through all that, you know what I'm talking about. It happens. It's a constant thing that keeps coming up. It's a constant thing that lasts throughout your marriage. Whereas if you'd never done any of that, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, it says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Understand this, a good man or a good woman that you would be willing to marry, if you've got a wife, if you've got a husband, I want to say this, that is not something that you could have got from, you couldn't earn it. That's what the Bible said. You couldn't have bought it. That's only a gift that God can give.
Amen.
The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. I want to tell you right now, my wife, she ain't perfect. Nobody is. I know I brag over a lot. She ain't perfect. I'll tell you what, she's good. She's a perfect gift from God. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm thankful to have my wife. I'm thankful to have somebody that I can go through this life being one with. Hey, me and her, we're together in this. And I'm going to tell you, just as much as I have to pastor this church, she has to. I know she's not up here speaking. I know she's not making them decisions, but she's in the background. She's praying for me. She's supporting me. And she's the one I go to. She's my shoulder to cry on. She's the one I can lean my head on. She is my rock. Hey, I want to say this. I'm not talking about like Jesus Christ is my rock. But I'm talking about she's the one that I go to that I know is going to be steadfast, immovable, no matter where I'm at. Emotionally, spiritually, no matter what, she's going to be there for me.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I love about her. That's what I appreciate about her. That's what means so much to me about her is that she's there for me. She is the one that I go through this life with. And I want to say this. I want to be there for her. Amen. I have the conviction both to recognize all the good things about her. You know what? Whenever the Bible is talking about like that, I begin to see all the blessings that she is to me. And I encourage her to see the blessings in being in a relationship with me also. Because if I start counting all the little things, the little pet peeves I've got, the things I don't like, you know, next thing I know I'm grumbling, I'm complaining, I'm mad, and I'm ill, and I'm just wanting to fuss all the time. And you know, she's a woman, so of course she's going to do that too. So I tell her and I remind her all the time that it's imperative, it's important. Be able to count the blessings. Remember that I am a gift from God. And I have to remember that she is a gift from God. Because she is. Amen. Let me tell you something, fellas. If you've got a wife, she is a gift from God. I'm going to tell you ladies something. If you've got a husband, he is a gift from God. I know what some of you are thinking right now. I don't know about that. But that's because the Bible tells us. So we know that the Bible is right. Matter of fact, let's put it this way. Okay? I want to read to you from Ephesians. No. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Bible says, now the Corinthian church had wrote to Paul asking him about divorce. And if divorce is okay. Now we know what Jesus said about divorce. He said that it is not. He said it's not okay for a man to put it away. But he said from the beginning, he quoted what was written here in Genesis chapter 2. Yeah. That even from the beginning it was so. That a man shall leave his mother and his father. That means that a man go away from his rest of his family. And this is his family, his wife. That the woman come out from her mother and father. This is her family is her husband. Not meaning that you just disown the rest of your family. You still have it. But compared to the wife, compared to the husband, the bond of marriage is a holy matrimony. It is a holy bond that God ordains. Mm-hmm. It's something when God puts you together. Amen? Mm-hmm. It is a stronger bond. You know, they say blood's thicker than water. Well, I don't know what the implications of all that means and everything else, but I want to say this, that whenever God puts two together in marriage, it is a bond that is closer than that of the family you were born into, or it should be, for you and I, biblically. So I'm going to read out 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. This is the only time in the Bible that I can find that it tells that a husband should submit to his wife. And that's talking about in physical relationship. And it says that's to avoid having any kind of lustful, adulterous fornication of the thoughts. So it says the wife in verse 4 hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. It says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not, nor for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore, to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. What he means by that is he says that it's better to be joined to someone in marriage than it is to burn in lust. He's not talking about burning hell. If you die lost, of course you will go to hell. But what he's saying here is that if you're saved and you've been saved, speaking to the Christian, he says it's better to marry someone and to find someone to be married than to be burning in your heart with lust and desire. And what he means in that specifically for is if you've had a husband or wife that has passed away. He said if you've had a husband or wife that's passed away or that was beyond your control and you could not do anything about it and you're not able to reconcile that relationship, they've left, whatever the case may be, the relationship is over. He says it's better than if you were to remain single. He said, but however, if you cannot remain single, because either one, that you know you cannot do without that companionship, or two, you cannot do without having that physical relationship, he says it's better for you to go and marry again than to burn with that lust, that desire, and that wantonness for something that you don't have. That's what he's talking about. And so whenever he says this, he goes on, and this is the full part I want to really get to. He says this. He says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord, if any brother hath a wife that believe not, and she is pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Now, notice this, he says that, yet, he says, not the Lord, but I speak, but yet, because he's been inspired by the Holy Ghost, he's still the Word of God. What he was saying before is this was a commandment of God. He's saying now, when he says, I speak, he said, this is something that I'm speaking through the liberty of the Holy Ghost from God. But God saw fit to include it in his word, so it's still part of the Word of God. Remember that, just to clarify. He says this. He says, if the woman, in verse 13, which hath a husband which believeth not, and if he is pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou? Sorry, I lost my place. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordained in all churches. He's saying that even if you have an unbelieving husband or wife, he says if they're willing to stay with you, he says don't put them away, he says stay with them. Stick it out. He said, why? Because he said the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. That doesn't mean they're saved. That means that God's working on them through the wife or through the husband, that God is working on that spouse in order to reach them, that they might see that they also need God. I remember whenever, this is before I started called to preach. I remember I didn't do everything right. I hope y'all don't think that the stuff I'm preaching to you this morning is like I'm saying, you know, this is the way I've done it. You're doing it. I did everything wrong. I messed up everything. I messed up everything. I did. And I regret it. That's why I can tell you with full assurance that you don't want to do that. You'd be a lot far better off to do things like God says to.
Amen.
Amen.
But me and Stephanie were married. We had Parker. And let me tell you one mistake I made. I just wanted to make it work for my kids. That's wrong. That's the wrong idea. When you want to make it work for your kids, talking about a marriage, that's the wrong idea. You know why you want to make it work? Because that is your partner. That is your other half. That is the one that you have given your heart and soul to in unity of a holy bondage that God has put you two together. You didn't choose that. God put you two together. He is sovereign. And He put you two together. And He put you two together as one. You know why you should want to work on your marriage? Not for your children, for yourselves. Guess what? If you work on your marriage for marriage's sake, because God says so, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be happier. Your spouse is going to be happier. And your children will benefit from it.
Amen.
They will get the greatest benefit from you working on your marriage rather than just trying to put up with each other to work on them. But I had the idea. Me and Stephanie, we had Parker. And I said, you know, I just got to make this work. She was lost at the time. And I was backslidden. I wasn't living with God for God. We'd go to church every now and then. And you know, I was burdened. And I prayed, and I was worried that one day my marriage might fail. And, you know, I was worried that one day something might happen between me and her. I was. It bothered me. It worried me a lot. And I remember reading this scripture. I remember God speaking to me. I read this one night. God said, you just keep hanging in there. And I know it's hard, but you just keep hanging in there. And I did. And we had plenty of good times. We did even back then, didn't we? But there's a lot of times that, you know, I just didn't know if it was going to work out. Then God called me to preach, and I said, God, I can't do that. I don't just put my hand to the plow and look back. I can't do that. What if something happens to my marriage? I don't want to get into this and have to get back out of it. I don't want to go into ministry and have to step back out. I just don't want to do it. God just kept pushing me, kept pushing me. Finally, in August of 2015, I surrendered to God. I don't care. If she leaves, she leaves. I'll go preach in the prison. I'll preach in the rest home. I'll preach on the street. I'll preach anywhere you let me preach. I just want to preach to you. Lord, you've been so good to me. I surrendered. I just 100% just laid it down.
Amen.
3 weeks later, she got saved.
Amen.
She's a whole lot better Christian than I ever been. Now, I want to say this to those of you that's got spouses that you're worried about. You hang in there and you pray for them.
Amen.
You might be surprised what God will do with them yet.
Amen.
You just keep on trusting God. My confidence wasn't in her. It wasn't in me. It was in God.
Amen.
I knew if anybody was going to do it, it was only going to be God. And He did. He took care of it. And now I feel like I've got the best marriage ever was. And I thank God for it. It's all because of Him. Amen. It certainly ain't because I done everything right and chose the right ones. It wasn't because she definitely didn't choose the right one. It wasn't because she got her act together and straightened everything out. It wasn't because I got my ideas, because of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it takes. The Bible tells us this. I'm going to read something to you here. Also, another one out of Proverbs. You'll hear this a lot. This is joked about a lot. Proverbs 21:9 says, it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And we joke about that a lot, you know. And you know how grievous it is to fight and fuss with your spouse. And it is, you know, that's something that's difficult. And we all go through it. And I want to tell you this, that me and Stephanie, we still have our fusses. And you know what? Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian's had fusses. They have. They probably had some they wouldn't want to tell you about. I've had some I wouldn't want to tell you about. You've had some of your spouse you wouldn't want to tell me about. Right? But I also want you to know this, you're not alone. You know why? Because this is something that strengthens the church whenever there's family, whenever there's husbands and wives that are working together. And so guess what? Of every aspect in your life that could be attacked by Satan and the forces of darkness, your marriage will be attacked the hardest. I can your marriage will be attacked the hardest. But guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have a force to be able to fight back with. So you just keep on fighting. You just keep on putting up your defenses. You keep on getting on the offensive. You put on that whole armor of God. You remind yourself that your husband is a gift from God. You remind yourself that your wife is a gift from God. And you just keep on working together. You keep on loving one another. You keep on encouraging one another. Hey, you do all you can to work on yourself and grow yourself closer to your wife. You work on yourself, ladies. Grow yourself closer to your husband. And do it all for the Lord. And I promise you, it will give you some peace. It will give you some joy. It will give you some comfort and some rest. Lastly, I want to read something to you out of Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." I'm glad that marriage, finally I'm going to say this, it is the greatest symbolic picture that we have of the relationship that we have with Christ. We are one with him. One day, guess what? We will be eternally joined to him.
Amen.
He said that he goes to prepare a place for us. He said, you know, if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again to receive you. That where I am, ye may be also.
Amen.
Amen forevermore. You know what that means? That means that he's going, we're the bridegroom. He's going to prepare a place. The ancient Jewish culture, you know, they would do that. They would be married, or they would be betrothed to one another. And the groom would go and he would build a place. He would prepare a place. As he went to go prepare a place, the marriage would not happen until the home was finished. Okay? And this is the thing. He's in a hurry. He's ready to get his bride home, right? He's like, let's get married. Let's go. Come on. He's like, I've been waiting all this time. I mean, think about Jacob, you know, and him working all them years for Rachel, you know, and he loved her. And he went through and he worked for Leah, and they give him Leah, and he wanted Rachel the whole time. And finally, you know, they give him Rachel. And, you know, he worked all the years, and he just couldn't wait to get that woman he wanted. That's the way that boy would be. He can't wait to get that woman he wants. So it's not up to him, or else he'd build a little old shack. He'd just put up a couple pieces of tin and some sticks to hold it up. He'd say, all right, let's get married. So it's not up to him. It's up to his father.
Amen.
The father of the groom decides when the house is finished. You know why? Because that house is going to bear the name of the father and his household. He wants it to be one worthy to be have his name ascribed to it. So he's going to say, son, you're going to have to do it this way. You have to. I'm going through that right now. I can't even build my house without my dad doing the same thing. I believe he comes from ancient Jewish culture. But in any case, that's what they would do. They would say, you know, it has to be done right.
Amen.
It has to be done perfect. Guess what the Bible said? He said, when I go now to prepare a place for you, guess what we're going to? We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
That means that he's preparing that place. And guess what? He don't even decide when it's finished. He wants his bride to be with him. But he said that, you remember what Jesus said? He said, no man knows the day or the hour that he's coming to get the church, right? He said, no man, not even the Son, but only the Father.
Amen.
Why is that? It's because he's still working on that place. He said, I go now to prepare a place. And he said, and I will come again. If he was finished, he would come again. You know what the sign's going to be for the Father, God, to tell the Son to come again? He says, hey, Son, the work is finished. Now think about this. The same God, the creator of the heavens and earth, who done it all in 6 days. Everything that you see, every waterfall, this great big blue sky, every tree, every mountaintop, every valley, he done it all in 6 days. He didn't have to take that long, but he did because he wanted to put some special touches in there. He wanted to have some special things added in there. He done it all in 6 days. Every animal, everything that swims in the ocean, every coral reef, he done it all. And that same God, what the Bible says, which was Jesus, the Bible says everything was made by him and for him and through him.
Amen.
Amen. And so that same God is still, for the last 2,000 years, been preparing heaven for you and I. A place where what we consider precious, such as gold and precious gems, he said that's nothing but building material up there.
Amen.
You think building material is high? They don't hear that. He said, I got plenty of it. He said, I just use it to walk on. He said, just wipe your feet off when I go over there before you come in. Think about that. He's still preparing that place. Can you imagine the beauty of heaven? You know why he's preparing that? Because he's got something that's more precious to him than anything that's ever been. That's you and I. And I don't understand how I can be that much to Jesus. I don't understand how that I could be loved by him the way he loves me so much more than I love my wife. And I can't understand that, but I know that one day I'm going to join in to that marriage with him, and that we're going to be in perfect unity forevermore. Amen. And I know this, that while I'm down here on this earth, he's called me to treat my wife in a way that reflects the way that he treats the church. Read this with me. He says this. Now he tells this, first of all, to the ladies. He says that you are to live just as the church wants to live for Christ. Now, what are we called to do? We're called to submit ourselves to Christ, right? To surrender to him, to live for him. And so let me read once again Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, therefore the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Then in 5:25 it says this, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Man, what a challenge for me when I read something like this. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord does the church. This day and time is a popular thing that people say online around in society, that they say you need to love yourself. You can't love anyone until you love yourself. I've never had a problem loving myself. Matter of fact, the Bible says no man hates himself, but he nourishes and taketh care of it. Where I struggle is to love others like where I struggle is to love my wife like Christ does me. How that he holds me to a regard that he does not count my sin against me. He counts me without spot. You know what he does? He gives me grace. Bible says this, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother. There it is for the third time. It was in Matthew 19, it's in Genesis 2, and now it's in Ephesians 5. And shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, a lot of the problems that we have in society, in this nation, within churches, within families, within communities, a lot of those problems would go away if men and women would just follow the biblical guidelines for a marriage. If men would love their wives the way Christ loves the church, or if they'd at least strive, just put forth the effort to do so. And if ladies would reverence their husbands just as we, the church, reverence Jesus Christ. If they would look to him as a leader and a guide and a supporter of all things. Or if they'd at least strive to do so. If we would strive to be more biblical and Christ-like in the way that we view our marriage and the way that we want to uphold our marriage, you would see things happen and change so much in this entire nation.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about lost people. They don't know any better. I'm talking about within the church. If people within the church would just follow God on this simple thing, to say, I want to have as close to a biblical marriage as I possibly can.
Amen.
Let me tell you what, fellas, you can't fix her. Let me tell you what, ladies, you can't fix him. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can pray and you can watch God work.
It works.
And in the meantime, you can do all you can to do what you're doing to do your part.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. There might be some of you husbands and wives that just want to, maybe you husbands just want to get your wife by the hand and say, honey, come on, let's pray. I want to ask God to help us in our marriage. Maybe you've got some young people here that you want to do things right. You say, God, help me to find the right kind of woman, the right kind of man. Maybe you need to come to this altar and you need to pray. Maybe there's something else the Lord's spoke to your heart about. Maybe you've had a spouse that you've lost, or there's one that you're praying for. You just want to continue to follow God. You want to grow closer. You want to do all you can to stick with God and trust Him through the trials and the difficulties of navigating marriage. Marriage is not an easy thing. It is a trial. It is a struggle. It is a fight.